Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrew, here with Bill Goldberg. Good morning.
It is a good morning, but I got to tell you, I never in my life thought this day would come. I have an announcement that is going to shock every single one of our listeners.
You bought a Ford.
I thought that would be even worse, but I need an electric car.
You need an electric car?
Really bad.
Why is that?
Because I get up every morning at like 5:30, right?
And all your shit's way too loud.
It's 150 fucking degrees in Texas.
Yeah.
I've got 220 acres and there's so much shit to do, like always.
Yeah.
So I've been weed eating for like 5 days straight, right? Mm-hmm. It's therapeutic and it's very rewarding. But it's 150 degrees. And so when I get up at 5:30 in the morning, I'd like to be advantageous and take advantage of my time. And I get up this morning at 5:30 and I'm like, you know what? I got like five gas containers I got to go fill up. I got to go pick up some this and that. And I don't have a freaking vehicle that doesn't start up the neighborhood, doesn't wake the neighborhood up.
Or the animals, right?
I don't care about the animals. Well, my wife, you know, and engaged, quite obviously. But I got to have something that's quiet, man. Just for that purpose. That's the only reason why I need it. But if I have to get a 4x4 that's electric, I've got to get it.
Right. So it sounds like you probably want some sort of truck. If you're doing like, I don't know, gas cans and stuff for the things on the property, electric pickup truck. Now we're going to start seeing more over the next year. Right now we've got a limited amount. We've got Hummer, which is ridiculous.
I think the new Ram that's coming out is the one I got to get.
The new Ram is interesting. Rivian's done some updates that makes it interesting. New Silverado is going to come out, which could be interesting. As far as like smaller versions of that, I'm not sure exactly what's going to be on the menu, because those are all large enough that you can put big batteries and get plenty of power and torque and stuff. So
that Range, I'll tell you what though, that Ranger Raptor that I saw when I was in England,
yeah.
Pretty sweet,
man. It is pretty sweet, yeah. And I mean, it looks smaller compared to the, you know, my F-150 and your Ram trucks, but it's not as small as the Ranger was back in the day. And next to the, I mean, honestly, the Ranger today is probably as big as my F-150 Lightning, my 95 Lightning, because that seems like a small truck by comparison. When I parked the new truck next to the old one, I was like, I can't believe how small F-150s were back in the day, you know, not that long ago in 95, in the 90s. The Ranger Raptor is cool. Now, it's not electric, so it's not going to quite solve your problem unless you just run it stock. And actually, there is the truth is it does have the adjustable, like the tunable exhaust, and you can pre-program it to start in the morning in quiet mode. Right, as to not make a fuss in the noise, right? So there is a little bit of that. But, you know, the thought of EV. Now, I think EV is interesting in this scenario just because I'm curious to get your thoughts, you know, a month in, 6 months in on an EV truck.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest with you, I think I'm going to have to go the EV 4x4 first.
Yeah.
Because then it will solve the problem for the most part, because my garage is a half a mile away from my house.
Yeah.
All I need to do is get to the garage. And then hopefully this noise won't travel to the house.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like a vehicle like that, being an EV, would never even have to leave the property if you didn't want to. Right. Because you could charge it there and, you know, and you've got the wash bay, you could clean it. And there's not much else you need to do. Like, it's just perfect. Lives on the property. I mean, there's probably, you know,
they're out for sure.
Yeah, there's probably non-street legal versions of what you're talking about, some sort of 4x4 golf cart or something, or you know, like, I don't know if there's many electric UTVs, and I know you guys got a bunch of those on the property, and obviously I see Steve Austin's running around in his UTVs as well, and he's racing them now, which I think is fantastic. I love the idea that he's getting into racing, even on that level, because he basically lives in that UTV, or one of his UTVs, his various versions, and him doing some racing is fun. I don't know if you've spoken to him since he's done any racing. Like, we've just messaged a little bit.
He's inquired about the usefulness of the simulator in that type of a scenario.
Yeah. I don't know if the simulator does it have off-road courses like that.
It can. You can like through iRacing, I believe you can pay someone to design a course for you, and it can be built in the computer. And yeah. I guess so.
I guess if some of the larger races like Paris to Dakar or Baja or something, that's probably done already. But for what he's doing, I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, that's a great question from him. Can he start training for those? I'm impressed by his question. I like his dedication to this. He's done a couple of races now. I think we're going to have to talk to him on the podcast at some point soon and see how he's been doing. Is he
have him show you the crashes?
Yeah. he didn't bring that up to me. I know he's got a mouthful of dirt.
Simulator.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll talk to him and see if he wants to come into the podcast at some point. But anyway, the idea of an EV on the property is probably a pretty good idea. And you know, even like we were saying, like, because it's self-sufficient, you can charge it on the property. It never has to leave the property. It's not even like, you know, you're getting up in the morning to do stuff in one of the trucks and go, oh, I forgot to fill it up, so I got to either pull some gas cans or drive off the property and fuel up the truck and then bring it back, because I know I got to get up at 5:30 in the morning and start doing stuff. Like,
I got to find out who the leading manufacturers are and then reach out to them, because in something quite similar to what you do with these EV cars,
yeah,
I could be doing it with EV 4x4s.
Yeah. We should find out. We should even find out, like, yeah, who's got some of the press cars in Texas. You can try a few, but you know, this, everything that we're getting now is sort of the new first version of everything. And you're sort of getting at the beginning of phase two, right? Like, yes, it's the first Silverado and the first Ram, but when those come out, the second F-150 will be coming out, right? Which is a pure, clean sheet platform for an EV, as opposed to kind of the homologation of an F-150 to an EV. Updates to things like Rivian and stuff. Like, they're starting to figure out some of the bugs on what they're doing and how to make them. So you're getting closer to the right time.
Most of the bugs are worked out. Well, a lot of the bugs.
And look, I mean, it's still going to take a while. Like, we still, you know, we're making cars for 100 years and they still have a lot of issues, but I think you're getting closer to, a lukewarm opening as opposed to a cold opening. So yeah, it's an interesting thought. So we should find out, we'll have to reach out and see who's got, press vehicles where you are. It might be a little tougher, but not necessarily impossible, because I visited out in Texas and Lexus connected me with some vehicles when I was out there.
Yeah, it may be tougher, but it's probably the smartest state on the planet to be sending vehicles to for testing, because there's so many freaking people out here that,
yeah,
next best thing.
Yeah,
sure.
All right. So speaking of electric vehicles, in this case, hybrid. So I've been driving the 2023 Volvo S60. It's the all-wheel drive recharge. This is their four-door sedan. It's a plug-in hybrid model. Now, the engine on board, the gas engine on board, can also charge the battery. Or you can plug it in at home and not use the engine. So it, so when you do run out, so Adam's Lincoln, for example, Corolla's Lincoln was a plug-in hybrid, but when the battery died and he would have to plug it in, or he would just drive around on zero and just drive in on gas engine. This one does have the ability to charge from the vehicle. I have a couple thoughts on this. First of all, I still think the Volvo is the underrated car out there. I think the design is sharp. It's classy. I think it looks good.
Has been for 50 years.
Yeah, it's good. They've continued to nail it on design. That's my opinion. I think this is a good looking car. The one they dropped off was getting attention. And they're doing some things with, you know, with the lights and stuff and the grill, and there's little updates here and there. And you can see Genesis maybe influencing them, or them influencing Genesis a little bit. Now, the S60 Recharge has been out before. That's not necessarily the big news. The big news on this is for 23, they've made some improvements on the car. We talked about subtle changes, you know, from going from the cold call to the lukewarm call. Now that it's lukewarm, they've made some changes. So they've put in a bigger battery, and along with that, a more powerful motor. So where I believe the previous version, the electric motor itself was 87 horsepower and 177 pound feet. The new electric motor is 143 horsepower and 228 pound feet, which means now the gas engine and the electric engine combined in this car is 455 horsepower and 523 pound feet. Now that's impressive. So you don't really think of it as a quick car. You're thinking Volvo. It's a nice rounded car. The battery being increased from a 9.1 kilowatt to a 14.9 kilowatt also does a couple of things. It allows you to have that extra power. It allows you to have more range on EV only. But in this case, it made it eligible for the $7,500 federal tax credit as well. If you bought it before April 18th, now there's rules about the battery, you know, the tax credit. So that was kind of interesting. Now, this is a car that scoots 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. When you go all in on it with a full charge and in its sport mode, 4 seconds is fast, you know. And I was driving the Volvo around, and I was like, without reading up on the specs or what they did to the motor, I just got into it and just kind of got a driving impression on it. And I was like, this thing's quick. And it's like,
the last thing you're ever going to do is think about the performance once you step into a Volvo, but it is, I mean, it's eye opening.
Oh yeah. And it's comfortable and it's quiet and it runs well. Now, 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. I want to say the range on the battery itself is about 40 miles, which is not bad. Now, if you go pure EV, 40 miles of range. But the idea is let the car choose between EV and gas engine. So it gives you the power when you need it, and then it keeps it quiet and runs on EV when you don't. And the overall fuel mileage for the combined EV and gas engine is what you're going after. So, and in some cases it was quite a lot. So I want to say it's like got about 40 miles. The EP range, sorry, is about 40 miles, about 530 miles of total range with a full charge of battery and fuel tank of full tank of gas. Right. I think it comes out to about 31 miles per gallon combined. And the EV range is leans more toward the 74 miles per gallon EV range. So on average, you can figure out a way to get somewhere in between there. On EV range, like if I'm hypermiling and not hitting the throttle super hard in my 3 mile commute between here and the warehouse, I was mostly using EV the whole time. I wasn't even budging the fuel gauge on that. Like I was just figuring out, and I just plug it in here at the warehouse in the normal, like, 110 outlet. And, it takes a while to charge, but if I'm sitting here during the day, it's low draw, not expensive to charge. And gave me the range that I needed. So, the gas engine itself is 312 horsepower, 143 with the electric motor. The combined is 455, and it's using a little 2 liter turbo, four cylinder in it, which is, efficient and lightweight. And this thing came in, base price is about 55,000. The one I tested is about 64,000. Which I think for a luxury sedan, that's a good spot. It's a pretty competitive spot.
I don't know who else is there.
I think their infotainment system could use a little bit of a refreshing on the different screens and what's available to you. But for the most part, it's actually not bad. It's large. It works well. The interiors, it was nice. The seats were comfortable. The shifter has this sort of crystal kind of see-through light up effect to it, which is kind of nice. I was impressed with it. I just think it was a super nice car. I just don't think it's getting enough attention. I don't think the Volvo brand gets quite enough attention as it should, because it's a real sharp looking car. It was turning heads, man. This thing was doing well. Another update. This is kind of interesting. We know about Corvette. We've got C8, we've got the electric E-Ray, we've got Z06. We know there's a ZR1 coming out, and it's starting to show up in on the streets. They've been testing it. They've been having it out on the streets, all wrapped in the bra and the camouflage and stuff on it. It's looking like twin turbo version, kind of a twin turbo version of the Z06. I don't think it's going to have the flat plane crank. I think it would be kind of badass if it did, if you can have a bit of that sound. Because the Z06 sounds sick, but if you can combine that with a little bit of turbo whine, I think it'd be kind of cool.
That would be great.
Kind of looking at what they're doing with the bra and what's kind of underneath it, the front end looks a little bit more aggressive. They're getting a little more air into the front, possibly some active aero features. We're not quite sure, but it's sort of the bra sort of imply that could be the case. We're looking at maybe around 650 horsepower. Probably about, I'm sorry, 650. I'm 850. The Z06 is 670. This would be 850, but the torque is really, really where it comes in. The flat plane crank V8 is good, 670 horsepower, but 460 pound feet of torque. The twin turbo car could build that torque from, 850 horsepower to 825 pound feet of torque, and this thing was scoot around really good. Now, it's not totally out of the question for the ZR1 to be all-wheel drive. It could have this badass motor in the back, an electric motor in the front, because with this amount of power, they may want to come up with an all-wheel drive version. So we don't know if that's the case, but we don't know that it's not the case. But they're because they have the E-Ray that's using electric motors in the front, we know the packaging is there. We know it works. So maybe the Z06 gets to be the cool kid with the flat plane crank and the lighter weight and the rear wheel drive. And maybe the ZR1, if they're going for the most performance numbers, then I would think you would want that traction in the front and have that car launch. Not to mention the electric motors can help fill in a little bit of that low end gap, where you got the turbo lag, right? which we're, of course, we're seeing on some of the, you know, the supercars doing that, you know, kind of filling in that gap. So I don't know. If it was you, Bill, would you go for rear wheel drive, 850 horsepower, or all wheel drive hybrid, 850 horsepower?
I tell you as it relates to my simulator.
Yeah. Okay.
Active participation that's driving the car instead of it driving you. So I would opt, no question, for the rear wheel
drive. For the rear wheel drive, right. Yeah, I think that simulator is
no, it's a completely different experience. I mean, it's apples to oranges.
Yeah.
It truly is. So I mean, it's though and I will give you the analogy because it's applicable. I can go on the simulator and do an Indy car, do an F1 car, do a you know, what are the cars, the GT cars, the ones that the top class in the Le Mans.
Yeah, like the LMP, the car. Prototype cars, yeah.
I can get in one of those and just obviously crush times on the track. But it's not as fun because it's not like driving with the door open. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. It's just not comparable.
So what cars are you driving in the simulator? Like, what are you leaning into the most now? Are you getting your cars, your muscle car?
Oh, I'm driving a NASCAR. I take the NASCAR on most all of the, my favorite track is the Autobahn, or Nürburgring, you know, the ring.
Doing it on the ring.
Entire lap, 14 miles or whatever it is. And my favorite car is the NASCAR because it doesn't have traction control. It's, You're driving by the seat of your pants. It's the same. It's applicable. It's the same thing as driving one on the street or driving. It's like driving my Cobra.
Yeah, right.
You're driving an F1 McLaren as opposed to what they 765 LT right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Visceral experience.
If you're
driving the car instead of the car driving you.
Right. Obviously, even the simulator is the perfect environment for it. If you can start to learn as much car control as possible in something like a NASCAR stock car, then play around with different experiences, like you said, like the McLaren, you know, the 720 or the 765, which is still rear wheel drive, but it's got some electronics. I don't know how much you can turn off in the simulator, but also be curious, you know, how your lap times would be in something all-wheel drive performance like a GTR, like a Nissan GTR. I'm curious to like see a couple laps in that and see what the difference is from the simulator driver perspective.
I smoke my NASCAR time.
Yeah.
No question. No doubt. I mean, but it's not nearly as much fun of an experience.
Yeah. You're getting me more and more interested about the simulator stuff. I'm going to have to put that on the list at some point.
Every night. I mean, it's so much fun. Not only is it fun, but it's you know, it's driving. Hey, Gage has turned into a hell of a driver on the simulator. This kid's rolling through gears like he's been a race car driver for years.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's one hell of an expensive toy, but man, I'll tell you what, it's bitching. There's so many things that you can do without dying or having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars rebuilding your vehicle.
Right, just fuel cost alone. But
so I mean, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, it's a completely different experience.
Speaking of Nürburgring, I don't know if you saw this, but Audi's testing a wagon out there. They've got an RS6. I don't know, maybe like an RS6 Avant, but you know, we got the six, and then we got the RS6 and the RS6 like performance variant. And then I don't know what they're testing out there, but it's got like a bigger splitter on the front. It's got vented front fenders. It's got a little bit more of a, like, I guess you can call it a spoiler, not quite a full wing on the back, but I think it's kind of a badass looking vehicle, but I don't know if this is a replacement for what's out there or they're going for some sort of performance plus variant, but I thought the RS6 performance was already kind of the top of the line of it. That one, I want to say, I think that's 621 horsepower. The RS6 Avant Performance. So I don't know what's going on with this thing out there, but you saw kind of some of the spy photos, right? So that thing's badass. Yeah, that thing is cool as shit. I wish I could hear it, but it looks cool. I wonder kind of what they're doing with it. It seems unlikely it's a hybrid. I don't think that's what they're going for, but the shots of this thing on the ring with just this massive, looks like a massive carbon ceramic brake on the front as well.
I don't know exactly what they're doing either, but I like it.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, massive exhaust in the back. So, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's cool.
Whatever it is, they're making us talk about
it. Yeah, they're making us talk about it. I guess before we wrap up, speaking of spy shots, a few updates. Looks like there's going to be a little bit of a facelift going on the Raptor. Excuse me. Looks like Raptor R's are floating around in Michigan, and they've got a few little changes. Looks like some changes in the headlights, and the corners of the front bumper look to be tucked a little bit higher, so you get a little bit more clearance, less obstruction in front of the front tires with that bumper. A couple little things here and there. I'm sure there's going to be like a graphics package that's updated as well, but probably the changes you're seeing on the Raptor R that's been photographed and making its rounds around the internet are going to be on the regular Raptor as well. But yeah, it just seems like the Raptors R is out for a year, and they're making a couple little changes to it. But I mean, it's kind of cool. I don't mind it, because then it starts to identify going, oh, I got the first year Raptor, and I get the second year Raptor, as opposed to doing 3-4 years of exactly the same thing. I doubt there's any change in the performance or in the power plant, but yeah, just a couple little changes for it. So I think that's how you'll notice the difference between, you know, the first 1 or 2 years and the second one. But it's because it's such a mild changes for an existing vehicle. Not a lot has to be done as far as disguising this thing with bras and camouflage. It looks like they're just driving it. You know, like, hey, it's got updated headlights. Like, it's still going to sell. It's going to be fine. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like people are going, oh, I'm going to not buy the Raptor R this year because I really want the new headlights for next year. It's just not a lot of people doing that, especially with the, you know, with how limited these things are. But anyway, cool truck.
Cosmetically, the black TRX is getting a 2-inch lift and 38-inch Ridge Grappler Nittos.
On your truck, that's what you're doing to yours. So,
you got to change it a little bit, right? A little bigger tires.
That one, that's what you're driving kind of on the daily right now. And then where's the launch edition truck?
50 feet away from me. I don't drive.
You don't drive that one. But that one was also sort of the test bed for the, you know, for you guys and gearheads on the performance packs. And so that one's got, you know, some pretty big upgrades and stuff to it. So that's kind of a cool custom sort of Goldberg edition of the TRX.
Yeah, I got to keep doing stuff with the black one to make me not want to drive the gray one. So.
Yeah.
There's that.
Oh, and you had mentioned a drive shaft issue when we were wrapping up last week.
Yeah, I've been sick for about a week, so I haven't been able to get it up in the air. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get it up in the air and pray to God that it's only a boost bolt.
So. What car was it on?
Twin turbo.
On the twin turbo car.
Yeah, drove it in the parade to send the boys off to the state finals, and then Yangs are a right-hand turn out of the parade. Once I heard the little clicking noise, I did not. I wanted to be as proactive as to not hurt the car anymore as possible. So I just pulled it.
So you heard something with it, then you just brought it in, and you thought maybe something like loose drive shaft or something like that on the.
Yeah,
you joined or something.
I mean, I'm praying something just backed out.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's the issue. It's like you've gone through so many different things on that car that I'm like, that's such a big upgrade on that car. I mean, cool to take it out for the parade. How is it low speed? You know, it's not really.
It's fine, man. You know, I'm not the biggest turbo guy, and you know, low speed in that car, you know, you spool the turbo and then it doesn't like going slow. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So, but it's fine. I mean, it's tame, it's drivable. It's just it wants to really go fast, and that's the problem. So,
Yeah.
but
You
it's
know,
true. I could even drive it in a blue.
on my Mustang, my Mach 1, you know, with the twin turbos on it, you know, we're only running 6.5 pounds of boost in that thing. So that one was kind of designed to be a street car. It wasn't supposed to be super nuts. And still haven't had a chance to get it on the dyno. We've just been kind of busy with it. And we're at the HRE wheel show and dialing some stuff on the audio. But because it has like kind of the two splitters in the front with the performance pack, when we bring it down to the events and show the car, I have the two splitters on, which are all done in carbon fiber now with Anderson composites. But when I bring a car back, I take that one, the front one, off. So it's a car, still looks fine. Just the extended splitter on the front is what I take off. So it doesn't look naked. It still has one on there and it's carbon fiber. But with the car being lowered, it sticks out so far and it just keeps, it's so careful, you know, hard to not scratch it. And it's got a couple of scratches on the bottom end that you can't really see. So I don't have a show to go to in a little bit, and I still want to drive the car. So I just jacked it up and took that front splitter off. It just takes a few minutes to do. There's basically nutserts in there, and I just hit it with a ratchet. If I jack one side up high enough and put some jack stands underneath it, I can just take the whole thing off. Again, it's super easy to do. But while I was down there, because I haven't done it in a little while, it kind of gave me an opportunity to just slide down there with the iPhone and get a couple of pictures. So I'm gonna put those up on my social media so you can kind of see what's going on with the Steeda K member and the turbos that are down there. I mean, it's not up on a lift, it's not, you know, super fancy, but as much as I can slide in. I'll tell you, one of the other mods that I did for the car that is super helpful is I put jacking rails on there. So Steeda has the jacking rails. That's basically full length on the rocker panel, and it hangs down just a hair, like an eighth of an inch. So when I get the jack underneath there, and I just hit that rocker, that jacking rail, excuse me, and not have to look for the right spot or whatever, and I can do it on any portion of that rocker panel. So I can slide the jack under kind of like mid on the door and crank up the whole half of that car, front and rear tires at the same time, slide the jack stands on there, and then do what I need and even photograph pictures in the sense, and then lower it. I mean, they were super easy to install. They were bolt in and they came powder coated, but I know you can get these types of things on lots of different cars, makes and models, but what
Well,
I super, I mean, for whatever it is, like for $179 or $150 or whatever the jacking rails are, that's like, it's, I would definitely do that. If it, and for how many times we, you know, when we show the car and move it around and, you know, jack it up to get it on trailers and, you know, remove the pieces like we were talking about, super, super easy. Even when you show it, like when you show it and you want to like get the center caps of the wheels lined up. So when it sits at a show with the jacking rails, it's easy. Like I said, I can jack up one half of the car, turn the wheels a little bit and lower it. And it shows just better. It's just super easy to do. It just takes a couple of minutes. So anyway, just kind of a thought on that was, those worked out good. All right. So, we're going to wrap things up today and, yeah, man, we'll catch with you next week, and I'll post some pictures of the turbo kit in the meantime. All right. Good luck on the simulator. Until next time, guys, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.